Can we stand up and pray together this morning? Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day, for this beautiful church. Thank you, Lord, for all the hearts in attendance today. Imagine that. Look around. All the hearts. All the people who love God and came to His church today. You could have stayed home. You could have had a picnic. You could have went somewhere. But you said, no, I'm going to go to church first. God sees that. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
He sees what you did today. So give Him praise. Thank you. We're going to say a prayer later. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to say a prayer later that's so beautiful that it starts off, Our Father. On Father's Day, we're going to pray to Our Father who art in heaven. Thank you for this day, Lord. May the message touch souls. May it give them peace. May it give you joy. May it give this church unity as we grow together. And the foundation is so strong, Lord. We give you praise and honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Daddy!
Everybody say hi to Nikki.
Hi, Nikki.
She's kind of your daughter, too, right?
You don't look like him, but
you don't look a lot like him.
No.
Particularly looks like me.
Andre said, I knew it was her the minute I looked at her.
It's kind of like the usher at my other church when you came and nobody knew who you were. I told the usher when she came to our church in Danbury for the first time and nobody had met her, I said, when she comes in, how will I know? And I said, these are my exact words, you'll know her when you see her. And when we were up on stage and the service started and he walked in, his name was John, he raised his hand, walked, I found her! I found her! Yes, you did. Happy birthday, happy Father's Day to our Lord in heaven today. Father's Day in heaven. Daddy's hands, I hope you were. You made it.
And
pretty emotional, good stuff, amen? God is in this house. He's in this house. I believe it. God says if you call on him, he'll be there. So we invite Jesus into this house, the angels. We ask the angels to fly around the house, keeping us safe as we pray to our Father in heaven. Our Father,
who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen and amen. Give him praise. Happy Father's Day, Lord! God sees what you did today. He saw you get up this morning, get dressed, and come to church. God saw it. I don't have to see it. You need to tell somebody, God saw what I did today. You didn't go get your car washed. You didn't go to a soccer game. You came to God's house. So get fed with that. Can I get an amen? Come on, just get fed with it. If you did all that, receive the message today. It'll change your life. I know it will, because God's word does that. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is a pleasant and praise is beautiful. He does. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. Cast them down to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises on the harp to our God. He does. He gives to the beast its food and to the young ravens that cry.
Okay.
The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him and those who hold him.
Mercy. I hope and pray everybody in this place hopes for God's mercy. Amen. I hope that. I hope that you see God in everything that you do, and I hope today changes your life forever. Is that crazy, Deacon Sergio? But that's my hope. When we talk about God, I hope it changes your life. I hope you're not the same when you leave. That's my prayer. Now my quiz. Woo! Woo! For preaching the gospel. Who was the governor who heard the council's case against Paul? Who was going to be the governor? Who was going to be sitting? Who was the judge that's going to hear Paul's case in front of the council? Was it Pilate? Was it Felix? Or was it Festus? Who was the governor that's going to hear Paul's case? He was the governor over the Jews. How many think his name was Pilate? Anybody Pilate A? How about B? Felix. Anybody want to say B, Felix? How many say C, Festus? He was the governor over Judea, over the Jews. His name was Felix. So when what did Felix feel when Paul told him of Christ? Now he's the governor and Paul's going to go and tell him, plead his case. So what did Felix feel when he listened to Paul talking about Jesus? Did he feel anger? Did he feel doubt or did he feel fear? How many think he felt angered when he heard him talking about Jesus? Anybody want to say he doubted what he was saying? How many want to say he was afraid when he heard what he was saying? Praise you, God. Felix, the Bible says, trembled as he listened to Paul talk about Jesus. He trembled. Because what Paul was saying, why would he tremble? Because it got right here. Where's this? Your what? Your heart. When he was speaking, it got to his heart and he started to tremble. Woo! Now this man, Festus wasn't just a guy on Gunsmoke. How many know that Ken Curtis, who played Festus, was an absolutely beautiful singer? He's one of the greatest singers. He sang with the Dorsey family. In the Quiet Man movie with John Wayne, he's the soldier, the horse soldier that gets off and sings in front of the cabin, "I'll take you home again, Kathleen." That's Ken Curtis. That was Festus. He took Sinatra's place. But he said, "I want to do something else," and became Festus on Gunsmoke. He was a Roman procurator. That's an agent representing others in a court of law in county countries retaining Roman civil law. So he was going to be the procreator. And Festus, and he had to tell Caesar regarding Paul. So what did he, Festus, want to tell Caesar regarding Paul? Did he want to tell Caesar that Paul should have been in jail? Did he want to tell Caesar that Paul should be killed? Or he didn't even know what to tell Caesar. How many think that he thought that Paul should be in jail? He was going to tell Caesar that Paul, anybody in jail? How many think that he should be killed? That he should tell Caesar that Paul should be killed? How many think that he didn't even know what to tell Caesar? How many got that? Good one, Deacon Chuck. Festus told King Agrippa that he didn't know what to write to Caesar. He didn't know what to make of this man, and he was responsible for writing to Caesar about Paul, and he's saying, listen to this guy, I don't know, what are you doing? Brother John, God bless you, good to see you. He didn't know. Deacon Chuck got that right. Let's all give Deacon Chuck a big hand. Not only didn't he know what to write, but I got one more question. When Paul spoke before King Agrippa, what did Festus believe? Now Festus is listening and he doesn't know what to write. Did he think that Paul was mad? You know, out of his head? Or did he think that Paul was wrong? Or did he just believe in this Jewish council? And he said, I'm just going to, whatever the Jewish council said, that's what I'll do. How many think that he thought Paul was mad? You know, not mad like angry, but mad like lost his mind. How many think that Paul was wrong? He thought that Paul was wrong. Anybody? And see that he just listened to the Jewish council. Hallelujah. When Paul spoke before King Agrippa, what did Festus believe? That much learning had made him mad. That he lost his mind. You ever feel that way with your friends when you start talking about God and Jesus? People think you've lost your mind. You can't believe that. Do you believe that's what you? That's why you go to church on Sunday to hear some guy with a cowboy hat on talk about God? You've lost your mind. Look at that day out there. The fishing's great. The weather's great. The water's great. But you chose to come to God. Hear our prayer, O Lord. It's an easy one today. Praise God. Hallelujah. Give him praise, church. Church, repeat after me. Jesus, come into my heart. That's it. Come into my heart today, Lord. That's it. That's the prayer. That was the song. Hear our prayer, O Lord. Jesus, come into my heart today. Create in me a new heart today. Remove every distraction and confusion. How many know there's a lot of distractions and confusion in the world? Amen? I mean, it's crazy, right? The devil's tools look like this. Worry. Anybody worry? Confusion. A tired mind. How many know that a tired mind makes you vulnerable to things? Amen? Just not anger, bitterness, frustrations. Here it is. Any way to get your mind and your heart off of God, off of Jesus. Those are the devil's tools. Those are in his toolbook. Anything that he can get you to not think about God for even 1 second. Here's something I wrote that maybe you never thought about. He knows Jesus better than you do. The devil knows Jesus better than we do. He will do all he knows, every trick, every lie to keep you from who? Jesus. That's his job. That's what he's going to do. His lies lead to destruction, not only for you, but anyone who follows. Anybody who follows the devil, what happens to them? Destruction. Amen? Not good. Really bad. Real evil things happen to people who follow Satan. The fact that he knows Jesus better than we do should cause all of us to run, not to walk to God, his word, his promises. And you say, Pastor, I know that. Y'all say, I know that. Say, I know that. There you go. Yeah, but do you really know it? Do you feel it? Do you understand it? Every minute and every day. Every minute of every day, do you believe it? You say, Pastor, I can't do it every minute of every day. You don't expect me to walk around Jesus, 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 Lord. Not exactly. I get it. I understand that. But here's the thing about those minutes that you don't, the hours that you don't, that's the time where Satan can come in. I got a time now. She or he's not thinking about Jesus. She's thinking about something else. She's angry about something. She's bitter. This is my time. When you say something you regret, anybody ever say anything you regret? That was the tool. That was one of his tools. He loves that when you lose your patience. Anybody ever lost your patience? That's another one of his tools, you see. That ain't from God. When you lose your temper, anybody ever lost your temper? Anybody? Tell the truth. That's not from God. When you lack compassion and understanding, when you let your flesh lead you, not your heart, not your what? Heart, not your heart. When you let your brain and your flesh lead you and not your heart, not God, those kind of things happen. You say things you wish you hadn't. You do things you wish you hadn't because you're playing in his toolbox. A tired mind is so, you know, people look at all these big sins that we commit, and yeah, we all commit sins, but the tired mind is where Satan can get you. When you're tired, when you don't have any patience, that's when he can kind of get there and get that bug rolling and stick you and poke you with that. Those are his tools. A world, a life, a family, a child void of God. They're taking God out of everywhere. I don't have to make that up. It's true. You can see it for yourself. Nobody's talking about God. People are condemning the church. They don't even know what they're condemning, but they're condemning somebody in the church. A world without God. What do you see? What do you see? What do you see on the world without God? I see the devil's playground. I see him in glory. I see the devil running around. This is fun. Nobody's talking about God. Nobody cares about God. Every commandment is mocked for lure of power and the love of money. His commandments are trampled under everybody's feet. No law will change. Let me say this again, because I'm going to prove this to you. No law will change what's happening in the world today. Amen? No law, if you don't believe that. No law will keep anybody safe. Let me say that again. No law will keep anybody safe. You might say, well, I don't know if I agree with that. Can I prove it to you? How many want proof that no law will keep us safe? I got 10 of them right here. I got 10 laws, right? If we kept these 10, the whole world would be beautiful. 10 of them. You don't need to make amendments on these. You don't need to make a book with that thick with laws. I got 10 fills, one page. You could write them all on one page. If we followed these laws, how would the world be? Amen? Anybody? How would the world be? No coveting, no killing, no murdering, no lying, no cheating. Honor your father and your mother. Love God with all your heart. You think man wrote these laws? We can't make up laws. No law will keep us safe because, and I'll tell you why, it doesn't touch you right here. Where's this? Laws don't go to the heart. He gave us 10 commandments. How many know that to be true? Well, here's something else. I'm going to prove it a little bit further. Can I prove it? He gave us 2. He removed the 10 and gave us 2. Just 2 things, people. God said, love him with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. That's what the first one is. And the second one is love your neighbor as you love yourself. And he sat down, dropped the mic. I don't have to tell my children anything else. My children, our Father in heaven said, love your neighbor as yourself and love me with all your heart. 2 commandments. Can we do it? How many know that there's laws against driving drunk? How many know that they made a law? So I ask you, how many people died last year from somebody driving drunk? How's that law working? And you got laws against drugs. You got laws against texting while driving. They made a law. Let's have a law about texting. And I think that's a great law myself. I mean, I think anybody with common sense, with God, would say, why are you doing that? Sorry, Irene. Why would you be texting while you're driving? How many people died of that last year? So all the laws don't go here. You can't keep anybody safe by making a law. It doesn't stop hate. Can I say that again? It doesn't stop anybody from hating. Listen, I wrote this down too. I love this. You got man's laws and you got whose laws, church? God's laws. Even an atheist would have to look at this and say, yep, I don't like God. I don't believe in God. But if we did this, the world would be a better... Even an atheist. Somebody who hates God, doesn't know God, would say, yeah, not killing's a good idea, and not stealing's a good idea, and honoring your mother, that, you know, those are all pretty good ideas. Let me ask you an honest question. What man would have written the Ten Commandments? Who? What president? Reagan? Kennedy? Who would have wrote the Ten? They don't know the Ten Commandments. They came from God how long ago? Anybody? Thousands of years ago. They haven't changed in thousands. They have no amendments. There's no BC and D. There's no book, 2,500 pages. There's 10 laws. But today we're going to make another law to keep us all safe. It's a lie from the pits of hell. I just showed you how it is. So what man would ever change, want to change the Ten Commandments? How can you say there's no God? How can you say with a mind, an intelligent mind, say there's no God, then look at that and say, what man would have written that? What man in the world would have given us that? It was God who gave us that. And then he broke it down to two. Two. Whew. They didn't come from God? I don't know. Nothing like it since. Nobody out there, they just, and people want them removed. Why would they want them? Who wants, let me ask you, who wants these removed? Anybody? Satan wants these gone. Satan wants this country to forget about God. Satan wants this country to throw God to the wayside so he can have his playground. Yeah, make a law. Yeah, Satan said, yeah, make a law. They didn't believe God the first time. They didn't believe him the second time. Make another law. It is the things of the heart. Can you say that with me? The things of the heart. Somewhere inside, those are the things that are missing. Somehow light must shine in the dark, destroying the darkness, like the sun in the morning. We've talked about that so many times, how you feel when the sun comes up in the morning, you feel better. Oh, I can breathe again. That's the kind of light that should be in your heart. Hallelujah. Light overcomes darkness. So I say this to you this morning. There's so many scriptures in this book on the matters of the heart. So many scriptures from our Father where? Who gave us scriptures on the matters of the heart. He gave them to his children. You. He gave them to you. Scriptures for the heart so you can have a better life, so you can have a fruitful life, so you can prosper and multiply, have good success. I think we all want that. What is Father trying to tell us? It's Father's Day. Should we listen to him or not? It's Father's Day. What's he trying to tell us about our heart? On this Father's Day, we should honor him, love him, lean on him. Our Father loves us. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as a man sees. For a man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. He doesn't look at your appearance, how much money you have, what kind of clothes you wear, what you're doing. He looks at your where? Heart. Why? Why is, what's he trying to tell us? Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Why would we ask God for a clean heart unless we understand that some things in our heart are amiss? I love this one. For where your treasure is, there your heart also will be. Whew. I'll keep that over there. That's good stuff. Jeremiah says the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Whew, I got through that to get to this. Healing begins in the heart. Every heart. It starts one heart at a time. How many? One heart at a time. We may ask, who wants to be first? So I ask you this morning, who wants to be first? Who can be the biggest man or woman? Who can forgive more than others? Who can do that? Anybody here? Who wants to say, I can forgive more than others? I'm going to be the first one. I'm going to stand up in faith and forgive everybody and be that. Who wants to be that person? Who holds the key to healing us all? We have but today. What do we have today? What do we have, church? We have but today. You have this day and nothing more. Who wants to go first? You want to go first? Here's the thing. Here's the thing about the bad. You can kick, you can scream, you can holler, you can fall in the mud, you can run around naked, you can scream, you can do everything that you want to do. Nothing is going to change yesterday. It's gone. Yesterday is gone. You can't bring yesterday back. So where do we go now, church? Where does it start? Who wants to be the true champion? Who will say we need each other above all things? Which road do we take? Which road do the people take? They ain't taking God's. I want to take God's road. Tragedy will either tear us apart or bring us together. How many know that's true? When 9/11 came, it pulled everybody together. You got all these tragedies, and some of these little things now are tearing us apart. And tragedy should be either bring us together or tear us apart. Who carries the heart of Jesus inside of them? What path do we take? God is looking for the faithful. You're going to like this. God is looking for the faithful. The world is looking for a miracle. Think about that. God's looking for his faithful to stand up and proclaim his name and have the heart of Jesus. The world's looking for a miracle. We know the miracle. We know how the world can be cured. It's through Jesus and forgiveness. Amen. We talked about that. I told my daughter on the way down, there's no money in it. That's the problem. See, nobody's going to make millions of dollars on forgiveness. It's too easy. Or is it? God is looking for the faithful. Any man, any woman can carry the heart of a miracle, the power of God that lives in our hearts. Thank you, Lord. As a Christian is someone who realizes how much he needs God in his life. Can I please have an amen? Amen. I've tried. I've messed it up. I need God. I need help. There must be a better way. There must be more than this. Jesus, help me. Say that with me. Jesus, help me. You became a Christian by saying that. When you said before, Jesus, come into my heart, you became a Christian for saying that. You accepted Jesus. You called and recognized that you need Jesus in your where, church? In your heart. In your heart. That's where everything's going to change. You see evil in the world because there's no God in their heart. There's evil intentions in their spirit, in their head. They're leaning on themselves, the love of money, the love of everything that they're searching for. It's not in their heart. We can make a law about anything we want to make a law, amen? But you can't change a person's heart by making a law. You need to go deeper. You need to give them the heart of God. You need to make them repent, and you need to make them see, I need God. There must be more than this in our life. Jesus, help me. And then you say something like this. I messed it up. I messed up my home. I failed my family. I ran from those who tried to raise me. I believed the lies of the deceiver. I ran with the wrong crowd, alcohol, drugs, the need for money and power. I hurt and destroyed other lives. I blamed someone else for my choices. At home, in school, it was not my fault. Anybody ever hear that before? It's not my fault. But there's an awful lot of one word in there, the word I. There was a lot of I there. That's the self that you say, I messed up my home. I failed my family. I ran from those who tried to raise me. I believed the lies of the deceiver. I ran with the wrong crowd, alcohol, drugs, and the need for money and power. I hurt and destroyed other lives. I blame someone else for my choices at home and school, and it's not my fault. We all have stories. We all have tragedies. We all have hard times. As my granddaughter would say, you don't know my life. But there's a lot of I in there. There is nothing we cannot overcome if we do it together. Christians need to stand up together. Proverbs says, he who has a deceitful heart finds no good, and he who has a perverse tongue falls to evil. Let me read that again, because you see it. You see it. It's not. It's the person that is saying and doing evil. It's the person. It's their heart. It's the darkness in their life. No hope. No anything. No God. Because we're taking God out of schools. We're taking God out of everywhere. And we're seeing people with zero hope. And this is their only way. And they made the wrong choice. He who has a deceitful heart finds no good. And he who has a perverse tongue falls to evil. You saw in the news this week, I don't know if you read about it, but our president is, he's a practicing Catholic. He goes to church every Sunday. Praise God, amen? And he goes to church every Sunday and he says amen to everything that the priest says. He says amen, which means I agree. He goes to church and says, I agree. I agree with this theology. I'm a Catholic. I'm a practicing, and I'm great. Him and his wife go. That's a beautiful thing. Now there, people are coming against him and they're missing the point, saying, well, somebody is saying maybe he shouldn't be able to receive communion because he's pro-abortion. Have you all heard that story on the news? They're saying maybe he shouldn't receive it. They're going to have this thing about, and not just him, but it looks like they're picking on him, and they're picking on people who profess to be Christian and Catholic who are on that side, and people were condemning the church. I read all these things and I heard all these things, people condemning the church. Well, the priest did this and the church does that and the church doesn't pay any taxes. And I said, you're missing the point. And of course, they were talking about the past president. I said, nothing to do with him either. You're missing the point. You're all talking about there is no God. God's a fairy tale. I read so many things that said you're missing the point. The point is he goes every Sunday. So you should be mad at him for going there, not for the church practicing what it preaches. So he goes there every Sunday, him and his wife, and say amen to everything. So it's his choice. But it's between him and God. You see, we all fall short daily, you see, but it's his choice. You see, he made the choice to go to that place that teaches that one thing. And that's the difference, see? It's hard to put it into words exactly the way I want you to understand it, but he makes a choice to go to church. He's got not the church. He goes freely to church. And then when he comes out, they say, well, he's pro-abortion or pro other things against God. That's between him and God. You see, but it's the way the world is. See, they're looking for things. The world is looking for things to pick on God with. The world is looking for things to separate us. Oh, you're anti-gay. I'm not anti-anything. Amen? I'm not against anybody living their lifestyle. But that's what Christians are, because we understand we got enough problems. We don't judge other people. We pray for other people. People come against us, we pray for them. We give them our heart of compassion. Amen? But then they see they want to blame the church. They want to blame God. They mock the word. They mock and trample these words. The words that can save us all. 10 commandments. One page. You can write them on one page. Could save us all. Because these change your heart. Not to covet, to love one another. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. If you love your neighbor as you love yourself, what are you going to do to your neighbor? Anybody? You going to steal from them? You're going to call them names? You're going to do what are you going to do? You're going to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Okay, our Father. And then love me with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That's it. It changes your heart. When you love somebody, you can't hurt them. When you love somebody, you can't take out a tool and hurt them. The other day, we were at Walmart. Anybody ever been to Walmart? I don't know if I should bring this up, but I was tickled. You know, they have things behind glass, and they have them all locked up. You want to buy a BB gun, it's locked up. You got to go see the person to buy a BB gun. I said, that's good. I'm sorry, Lillian, you work at Walmart. He's a greeter at Walmart. But I walked around the corner looking at stuff, and Deacon Chuck will tell you too. And they're hanging right there, 18-inch machetes, one after the other. There was like five of them, Mike. And after, alongside the machetes were hatchets, wooden handle hatchets. Say what? I mean, there was like all these 18-inch, you know, the thing. But the guns, the BB guns, are locked up in a cabinet. You can't hurt anybody with a BB gun because, first of all, it doesn't have any BBs in it. But those machetes hanging there, I said, you're missing it. If somebody with an evil thought picks that up, look out what's going to happen. Amen? Because it's the thought. It's his heart is dark and he's going to do something to somebody. It doesn't matter what he does it with. It's the fact that he's going to do it because there's no God in his where heart. The world is looking for a miracle. We have the answer. But we only have today. Who wants to start? Who wants to go first? That's what God is saying today. You said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Who wants to be first? He's looking for the faithful. You You should see the machetes, Chuck. I mean, they're like 18 inches long, and they're just big, shiny things. And there's a hatchet right next to them, Lily. Lillian, they got a hatchet. I could take the hatchet, take the cover off, and I don't want to be the person in the next row. Because nobody will be able to stop. If I take a BB gun and break it out, I can't hurt anybody. True, yeah, maybe. I just pray that nobody with a heart like that say, "Whoa, we didn't see that coming." Thank you, Lord. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaves will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, and will cease from yielding fruit, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Can I have an amen? Whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes. The tree is going to be strong, but its leaves will be green. It will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. The tree will remain strong because he is in the Lord. The heart is a deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. The world's looking for a miracle. We have the miracle. We must have the heart of Jesus. This is a full circle sermon that goes together with the fruit we had last week and what we've been talking about for a couple of weeks, that we have to have Jesus in our heart. You have to accept him. You have to let him in. You have to open it up and let that compassion in. You have to run away from the things of the devil, all his tools, being tired-minded and being also hard-hearted, because that's not going to cause anybody any fruit. Having the heart of God will raise up people for healing for this world. So I ask you again, who wants to go first? Give God praise, church. We ask God every week before we do the Lord's Supper to remove our iniquities. Forgive us for our iniquities. Why do we do that? So we can receive this with a clean what? Heart. We want to receive God's blessing with a clean heart. We want God to create a clean what? Heart. Not a brain. Not feel. We don't walk by feelings. We walk by faith. And faith is where? In our heart. When God is in your heart, you don't want to say mean things to somebody. You don't want to hurt anybody. How many know you can see people without God, the difference? Amen? There's a huge difference. You can see it. You can hear it in the world when people don't know God. Hear the vile things they say and they do. Because it's the spirit that's not in them. We have the truth. And the truth shall set us free. And the truth is Jesus. That's what I preach. That's what I believe. I believe it 24/7. I try to talk to God as much as I can. I don't have these conversations where I sit down and he talks to me, but I'm always thanking him. I'm always asking him for help. I'm always asking him to lead me, to raise me, to help me, to heal me. Touch my wife, touch my children, touch my grandchildren. But it's not even about them. It's about me and God. Help me, Lord. Sometimes you ever feel frustrated, and anybody's ever been frustrated, and you think you blame somebody else. Anybody here ever blame anybody else for being frustrated? Maybe it's you. I tell God that all the time. I know it's not, it must be me. I've got to get rid of this spirit of frustration before I can get to the next step. I must remove this bitterness or this short-temperedness or a tired mind. You see, you get a tired mind, you start thinking somebody else did something, you realize, no, wait a minute, it's me. I'm the one with the tired mind. I'm the one that's saying things. So then I put a sentry at my lip. Everybody ever hear that before? You put a sentry at your lip. You put a lock on your lip so you can't open your mouth and say what it is coming in your head before you get it in your heart. You see, you got the head speaking and the heart saying, don't do it. Why does the heart say that? Because it knows better. Your head says, I'm going to say it. I'm mad and I'm going to say it. And then 10 minutes after you say it, anybody ever feel bad about saying something? Come on, tell the truth. Say, man, I wish I never said that. I wish I just never, it was not necessary to say that, because the head spoke ahead of the heart. Because if you have love in your heart, no matter what happens, the love's never going to fail. Are things going to be perfect? No, God never said nothing about perfect and happy all the time. But He's going to give you peace, and He's going to give you that joy and that peace that surpasses your own understanding. You're going to say, I don't know how I got through that except without God. And then you get it. Once you realize that you can't do it without God, then you get it. Lily's getting it. See, Lily comes to church and hears the message. She's not clouded with all these other things she's heard for the last 40 years. She gets it. She hears about Jesus. She said, I want Jesus in my heart. That sounds pretty good to me. I want good success. Sounds pretty good to me. She gets it. Our Father gets it. Our Father loves us today. It's Father's Day. We honor our Father in heaven first and foremost. Without Him, we have what? Nothing. Did you all say that with me? Without Him, we have what?
Nothing.
Nothing. So without Him, we have nothing. So that's probably a good place to start right there. If we don't have nothing, without Him, we have nothing. So we should start with Him. He gave us His only begotten Son. For whoever should believe in His name shall have eternal life. Praise the name of Jesus, name above all names. The healing name of Jesus, the comfort name of Jesus, the name that enters your heart and changes who you are. How many times you wanted to, you look back and say, God's saying, don't look back, look forward. You can't change the past. Just keep walking with me. I will pull you from that past. I will raise you up. Because we want guilt. The devil wants you to have guilt. God said, no, no, no. I have forgiven you. They're in the sea of forgetfulness. Walk with me now. Walk with me. I'll raise you up. Little at a time. One day at a time. One minute at a time. But don't look back. You can't change yesterday. This is all we have. We have today. Who wants to be first? Who wants to go first? Who wants to be a champion for God? Who wants to do it? I pray all of us want to do it. I pray this message changes you forever. Thank you, Jesus. He's our advocate. He sits at the right hand of our Father. He's saying, use my name when you call on Dad. Because my Dad loves me. And my Dad will honor your prayer when you use my name. And He asks His people, His children, to do this morning as He did the bread with His disciples. And do this in remembrance of Him as we take what He did for us in Jesus' name. The devil's toolbox. We play in it way too much. Every day we take it for granted, God's love. This morning we're not going to do that. Lord, forgive us for our iniquities, for words spoken that weren't needed to be spoken, for a tired mind that didn't be that way, for frustrations, Lord, that didn't need to be that way. We lean on You. We trust You with the answers. We don't look to the future, we have today. We don't look back, we have today. This is what we have with You. Forgive us this morning, Lord, for our iniquities, where we fell short. Raise us up, Lord. We've asked You to come into our hearts this morning, Lord. Raise us up higher. Give us that strength as we lean on You. He poured the wine into a cup, saying, this is my blood being shed for you for the remission of your sins. And He simply said, do this in remembrance of me in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. You will not find this message at Walmart. You will not find it on the news. You will not find it on your TV shows. You will not find this message on the green. You will find it in God's house. That's why we need to be at God's house every Sunday and not miss one message. Maybe it didn't pertain to you one week as it should. Then you say, maybe there's something about me. Why didn't it pertain to me? What was I missing? I want to know more. I'll dig a little deeper. we said last week, and we said for a couple of weeks, Mary told the servants to do whatever he says to do, do it. Last week, we went right through the whole thing. Whatever he says to do, do it. How do I know what to do? It's easy. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. God's funny like that. You want to know what he says to do? You got to read it. I ain't going to tell you everything. How do you know what to do? You read the word, Lillian. You want to know what Jesus wants and what he says? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those four books. You read them. You start to hear those words in red, and they start to change your heart. You see, whatever he says to do, do it. Amen? No law is going to change anybody's heart. No law is going to keep us safe. It's those. We couldn't even follow those 10, so we're down to 2. Those are the laws that change the world. If we just live by those 10, can you imagine in the greatest scenario you can come up with how different the world would be today if we lived by those 10 rules? 10. Your Father loves you. God loves you more than you know. He craves your company. He loves hearing from you. He loves seeing you sacrifice. Go to church. And you guys came today all the way from New Milford. God, thank you. Thank you for... But receive. Go to church and receive. Have a new family. Look around. It's a little small today. People are doing other things. But this is our foundation. This is our family. This is where you can go for each other. And if you miss that, you're missing a big thing. Don't take this church for granted. Amen. This is God's house. Don't take your pastor for granted. You know, don't take your friends and neighbors for granted. This is the most important place to be. This is the most important time every week when you read the Word of God and come to church and hear the Word of God and do what you said earlier. Jesus, come into my heart. No greater thing can you say and do. But now that you started that again, today's a new start. Every day is a new start. Every day, walk with Him. Trust Him with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. Lean on Him. And things come against you, stand up and say, yeah, I don't like what's happening this minute, but God is going to have my back. God is in control. Can I get an amen? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for this beautiful day. What a beautiful